Hi, my name is Sarah Tran.
And this is Megha Jan.
And we
are Technology. Okay, so I just finished updating my phone to iOS 14. And the app library, Sarah, you can see it here, kind of reminds me of Android.
Yeah, I could totally see what you mean. Yeah. Would you like it?
I don't know how to feel about it, because I've heard and I've seen, ironically through TikToks on my Instagram reels, that it's highly customizable. So I guess that's where it would differ from Android. But usually when I would like open my friend's Samsung phones, just the wall of apps that would pop up, this is very reminiscent of that. And I think it's just something that I need to get used to, you know?
Yeah, I'm an iOS user, so Android really isn't my cup of tea. But you know what is my cup of tea?
What?
I am addicted to mint tea. I'm drinking some mint tea right now. People think I'm kind of weird because it tastes like toothpaste, but it's so good.
Oh my God, that was actually a very corny but simultaneously perfect transition. So good job on that, I guess. Not sure. ironically, today I am also drinking, mint in some form. I'm drinking green tea, but it's with lemon and spearmint. Yeah, but happy October, everyone. October is my favorite month of the year, fun fact. Really for no other reason other than fall and Halloween. So yeah, totally not why Technology has an orange logo. I'm kidding. That as another reason, and we'll get into why Technology has an orange logo on another podcast episode.
But yeah, so speaking of October and Halloween coming up, this month has a lot of tricks, or I guess treats in the bag, for releases and new events. Megha, do you want to get us started on what you think some of the biggest ones are?
Yeah, so I guess even before we get into the treats, I guess some people might look into this as a treat, and other people might look at this as something kind of spooky. But there is the Big Tech Trial Part 2 coming up on October 28th, hauntingly close to Halloween, some people might say. And today, actually, on October 6th, Congress finally released a 450-page report detailing plans for what they think should be done to these big tech companies and how they think the competition and data privacy concerns that so many people have put forth can properly be addressed.
Yeah, so with this part two, so I know we did part one not too long ago, it involved Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple. So they probably thought that this wasn't much of a sweet treat for them, but luckily it does make for some really interesting conversations to have right now, looking at all these releases coming out, especially from these companies themselves. I actually didn't get to follow too much of the articles and reading on this. I just got a little busy with other stuff. So maybe you can give me more of an update on like what went down.
Yeah, I would really love to. And I think what you're saying is true. This is very important considering its context and its timing with upcoming tech releases this month. But basically, this 450-page document went into a lot of detail about different aspects regarding these companies. Of course, a lot of it was supposed to be about antitrust and competitiveness, but a lot of it also ended up going into data privacy and security, and really how unsafe some of these companies may make their users feel. And a lot of people were kind of critiquing Congress for going overboard with that, while others were saying it's almost impossible to address anti-competitive behavior and not address privacy and security, because ultimately, especially as we're seeing with the rise of the Netflix documentary Social Dilemma, a lot of these issues are just interconnected. So I think that's interesting. That is something that's definitely up for debate. It really depends on which school of thought you're a part of. But what was something I thought was really interesting was the terminology that they used in this document. And they were kind of comparing these big tech companies to oil barons and railroad tycoons. And I just thought it was such a unique parallel kind of between the Industrial Revolution and then with the tech revolution and what we're seeing in the early 21st century. Like, this is an unprecedented period of growth in human history. And so we need to have a new playbook and rules to deal with them. Like, why are we still dealing with some of these big tech companies with rules that we established literally in the 1800s or the 1900s? So kind of going back to that, I mean, there was this one antitrust law passed in 1976, which kind of requires companies to file a report with the FTC and the DOJ before their mergers and acquisitions. And a Congress is now starting to go beyond that, because that was the last antitrust law that they were really able to successfully enact that made an impact. And this report is attempting to usher in a new era of regulation.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we're still treating and dealing with these big tech companies with laws that have been made, what was it, like decades ago? Or do you, if you know the exact number, but decades ago, 1976, right? Is that what you said?
That was the most recent one. So some of these date even further back.
I see. And that analogy you brought up with these big tech companies being compared to like oil barons and railroad tycoons was really interesting, because, for anyone who did watch The Social Dilemma, something that was brought up was that, you know, if you're not selling a product anymore, you know, you're not buying oil, you're not buying or manufacturing with these railroad tycoons, since you're not buying the product, you are the product. I thought that was such an interesting point from the documentary, just because with these big companies, people say this all the time, that the new currency really is data. Data is the new currency. And so looking at this transition from hardware to software and technology has just been, honestly, I think there's so much left that just needs to be investigated and to have further discussions about.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of room for improvement, a lot of room for discussion. Some people are saying that this report has more than done its job, and that companies should not be regulated this much because it could stifle innovation. And that is a very valid critique. So I guess with that, we should kind of start moving on to the innovation part of what is happening this month. Sarah, you want to kick us off by talking about Apple?
Yeah, so not only was October a month full of innovations that are yet to come, with the iPhone 12 potentially being released around October 13th, October 14th, there's still some speculations in the air. It's been unconfirmed, but the majority of reports are saying this. Let's just take it back a second to September 15th exactly. And this was where some of the new Apple Watch series were coming out and being released, as well as some of the new iPad models. And so that was pretty exciting. What did you think about that, Mega?
Yeah, there was some super exciting stuff going on in September with Apple. Obviously, the release date for the iPhone 12 was delayed, so some people were kind of disappointed by that. But the iPad Air was released, and a lot of people were super excited by this because of the A14 chip. It's a Bionic chip that's being used in it. And this one has 11.8 billion transistors and a 40% faster CPU, and also has 30% faster graphics. So this is something that is going to revolutionize the way, you know, the iPad Air is going to look and work.
Yeah, and so speaking about revolutionizing various features of existing Apple products, something that I think was my favorite innovation of September 15th event was this discussion around the Apple One. So Apple's creating this new all-in-one package that essentially allows you to bundle up to like six different Apple subscription services, with a significantly reduced price. So in other words, it's made Apple subscription prices and services easier or cheaper than ever. And it's just really interesting because now you can have like, you know, Apple Fitness and Apple Music just tied together. So that's pretty cool.
Look, I'm just waiting for that hefty student discount because we better be getting it.
Me too. I couldn't agree more.
But yeah, I mean, besides everything that happened in September, we have October to look forward to. Of course, the iPhone 12's long-awaited release and Sarah's favorite part of it, which is 5G.
Yeah, I'm just, so little funny story. I used to have an iPhone 6 for about 4 or 5 years. I got it around like middle school, and I was planning on holding it and just using an iPhone 6 all the way up until college, or just waiting for the iPhone 12 because of how much I wanted fifth generation technology on my phone. And unfortunately, when Apple announced that they were delaying it to all the way to October, I just couldn't anymore. I was like, you know what? I need a new phone. I love you iPhone 6, but this, it ain't cutting it. It's practically, my screen is all cracked, and it was just very broken and delayed and not functioning. But now I'm so excited to be able to say that we're in the same month that the iPhone 12 is probably going to release. And, you know, for me, what really makes this model so different than any of the other models is like why people are even talking about it is because of 5G. And so with fifth generation technology, it's exponentially faster and more effective than 4G. And it'll essentially allow us to have this form of instantaneous connection that we've never had before.
I think we've had so many legal and sociopolitical obstacles in the way of achieving 5G, you know, with the whole Huawei scandal the monopolization of a lot of tech companies that are attempting to get to 5G. It's really been an interesting few years. So it's crazy to see it finally materializing and in this medium.
Yeah, like we had the space race, but then today it's the 5G race, and which technology companies are going to be the first one to really dominate and almost monopolize the 5G sector.
Very true. And another part of the iPhone 12 that I'm personally excited about is the LiDAR component. So a lot of people are asking, what is LiDAR? How is it going to change the camera or video setup in an iPhone 12? We're going to talk about this more later once the iPhone 12 is actually released. But for now, a quick overview of LiDAR. It's basically like radar, except it doesn't use the same methodology. It doesn't use sound waves, basically, to map out the topography of an area. Rather, it uses invisible light rays, so infrared and ultraviolet. And you might be thinking, why do you need that for a phone? Like, this is technology that's used for self-driving cars. And the fact of the matter is that when we're doing night vision or recording videos, sometimes things just aren't as accurate. And with LiDAR technology, you can get some super, super fantastic results, even with everything around you moving or it being dark as hell at night. So that's going to be really cool for taking Halloween photos this year. Yeah, so we're super excited for everything that's going on with Apple. In fact, you guys can't see us right now, but we have the Apple Store background going on just to show how excited we are for this upcoming event.
Yeah, it's really helping us to get in the spirit of when the iPhone 12 does release and none of us are lining up at the Apple Store due to the pandemic, but in theory we are.
Yeah, quick question. Did you ever go trick-or-treating to the Apple Store as a kid?
Did you do that? I've never done that and I've never heard of it.
Yes, I did do that. I'm guilty of, yeah, Sarah's making this face at me like, of course you did. But
and this is why I chose her as my co-host for this technology podcast. So yeah, to transition over to Amazon's big annual hardware event. So as the name of the event implies, it was all about hardware. So unlike, you know, the previous discussion topic of Apple, but there were a lot of new things released, and some of them I actually did not expect to just come flying out of nowhere. So Amazon literally did create a Ring security camera drone that can fly around your home. And so that was very shocking. I just pulled up my news app on my phone and I just saw that as the first headline. I was like, what is this?
Wait, that's crazy. I thought, you know, when I saw that, I thought it was like being exaggerated, but this isn't something I've looked into extensively, so would love to hear more about it. This is crazy.
Yeah, so people probably are wondering, like, why did Amazon decide to create a flying Ring security camera drone for your home? And sort of what they've been saying is that it's a very purpose-driven security camera. So as opposed to just being able to capture, for example, one angle of your home, you have something that's just flying around probably 24/7, you know, assuming that it has enough battery to do so. But I think the real interesting part of this, it comes back to that discussion we were having earlier about the nature of software, and I guess in this case, hardware. And it's that we need to have a conversation about privacy, because now more than ever, you have these new and cool, shiny flying things, literally, which can fly around your home and just gather data. And so it really raises the question of, like, where do we draw the line, if so?
Yeah, you make some really good points with that. I think this is the age of surveillance that we're living in. Our devices, I mean, let's be honest, are constantly listening to us as much as we may love them. And that is the price that we pay for increased personalization and convenience. I mean, just this morning, Sarah and I were on a call together. Well, Sarah was on the call. I jumped in. I said, "Hi, Sarah." And it must have sounded like, "Hi, Siri." And since Sarah and my voice, we have really similar voices, her phone actually lit up and Siri was there to respond to any question I may have.
That was so shocking to me. And I think the best part was that it wasn't just my phone, it was also my Mac.
Maybe in that sense, technology isn't perfect yet. You know, like the fact that they couldn't tell our voices apart, maybe it hasn't quite reached where it could be.
And I think it's good that we're having this conversation, because just imagine when it does get there and it's able to identify every single individual based off of their voice, it's just going to be this weird abyss of technological innovation that has no standards yet. So it's good that we're having this conversation. But sort of bring back the topics to hardware. Another thing that was really interesting with Amazon's big annual hardware event was the new Eero, hopefully I'm saying that right, the Eero 6 Wi-Fi mesh network routers. And it's pretty cool because it lets you connect more than 75 devices simultaneously. And this has become ever more relevant in the midst of a pandemic when everybody's connected. You know, your mom, your dad, your grandpa, your dog is connected to the Wi-Fi. Everybody needs Wi-Fi. And the logic here is actually unlike a normal Wi-Fi router where you just have one placed somewhere in like your living room or your house. But now with the Eero 6, it allows you to place multiple units in different areas of your home. So therefore you're maximizing your consistency and internet coverage.
I would just like to say, this will take like your neighborhood or your neighbors hopping onto your Wi-Fi and mooching Wi-Fi off of you just to a whole nother level. Because imagine if they obtain your Wi-Fi password and there can be like 75 devices connected to it at once. I mean, you get Wi-Fi, it's not you getting Wi-Fi, it's your entire neighborhood getting Wi-Fi.
I did not think of that. And that's so funny because now it's like you get Wi-Fi, you get Wi-Fi, everybody gets Wi-Fi. That's awesome.
Free Wi-Fi for all.
Yeah, and so another innovation that's really similar to Apple's Siri is Amazon's Alexa. And so one of the newest innovations at the hardware event was the Echo Show smart display, now with Alexa built in for the first time.
And another, to round this off kind of, I think is the most exciting part of this hardware event, it's a new in-car security system that's actually going to first launch with Teslas. So, you know, just plug in for our last episode, battery day recap. You guys should definitely go watch that. learn more about the awesome, innovative stuff going on at Tesla in case you want to hear more about that.
Yeah, so in this episode, we talked about, you know, a new in-car security system built by Amazon themselves that will eventually launch with Tesla. We talked about privacy and data concerns with regards to Apple and the big tech trials part two with GAFA or Google, Amazon, Facebook, and Apple. And so we're coming to a really interesting point in, I know we talk about this a lot in our podcast, but we're coming to a really interesting point in the state of the world where nowadays we can't just act like these conversations are the sidelines, but they need to be on the front pages.
And so I'm really glad that the conversation now is around both innovation and regulation.
Yeah, and I guess ultimately that's the tea, right? Like that's the biggest takeaway from this whole episode. Like everything that's happening in October, we can see that even with innovation, there is a flip side to it. And, you know, that documentary that we discussed, The Social Dilemma, further exposed that. I think everyone is becoming more keen to this fact with the tech trials. And while we want to be able to enjoy, you know, the iPhone 12 or this new in-car security system or the Euro 6 Wi-Fi mesh networks, it's just really difficult sometimes when you know that you are the product being sold. So I guess it's really up to you to ask yourselves, how much of your privacy or autonomy are you willing to give up?
But with that, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Technology, where we spilled the tea on technology and specifically the tricks and treats, so the pros and the cons to every single thing going on in tech. Make sure to tune into our next episode on Tuesday and use the Technology Tuesday hashtag if you want to join the conversation with us.
But with that, thank you so much, guys. We'll spill some tea with you next week.